Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu made his much-anticipated speech to Congress today. He made his case against a potential nuclear treaty being negotiated with Iran by major powers, including the United States. There were empty chairs as the Prime Minister spoke. Some lawmakers, including Michigan Democratic Congressman John Conyers, did not attend the speech. Conyers released a statement saying his decision was based on problems with timing and protocol, not policy. Netanyahu's speech has fired up a lot of controversy, first because he had accepted an invitation from House Speaker John Boehner, and secondly because Israeli elections are March 17th, and this speech before Congress could be viewed as meddling in the electoral affairs of another nation. Arthur Horwitz is publisher and executive editor of the Detroit Jewish News. Mr. Horwitz, welcome to the program.
Great. Thank you for having me on.
What are your thoughts about the Prime Minister's speech today, particularly the tone? I'm wondering if you felt it was appropriate.
Well, I thought that his speech, looking at it from a few different angles, was actually quite masterful. I thought right out of the gate he diffused, or at least made an earnest effort to diffuse most of the things that created the controversy surrounding his appearance. He underscored the bipartisan support that exists and has existed since the time of Harry Truman for Israel, for the creation of a Jewish state. I thought he went out of his way in subtle ways vis-a-vis Harry Reid and saying a few comments about the now Democratic minority leader. And of course, he went, I thought, very far out of his way to express his gratitude to President Obama in saying very clearly being forever grateful for his support. So I think what he tried to do is kind of have the focus be on the message rather than the messenger. And I think part of the challenge and part of the static, the noise, the anger and back and forth was more about the messenger, in this case the Prime Minister, and the way that he was invited and how it was communicated and whether the President was or wasn't in the loop. But I think what he did, at least through my lens, is diffuse or at least make him less of the issue and to have the message regarding the threat of a nuclear Iran be the focal point.
And talk more about that message. What did you take away from what he said?
Well, I mean, my takeaway essentially was he laid this thing out like he was an attorney presenting his closing argument to a jury. You know, this is a bad deal. If anybody pulled away from his speech and didn't have that as a bottom line, very forcefully presented message from the Prime Minister to Congress and by extension, of course, to the American people and the rest of the world, it's a bad deal in his eyes because it rewards an Iranian regime that has been behaving badly and apparently through the Prime Minister's eyes show no signs of refraining from behaving badly. And I think he also kind of put in there that while this is in the best interests of the world to have no deal rather than a bad deal, he did reinforce that, look, you know, Israel today, the Jewish people by extension today, have the ability to defend themselves, something that they haven't had for a couple of thousand years. And he certainly put out there that, you know, there's a willingness to defend the very existence of the Jewish state of Israel. But I thought the final touches that he put in were very cleverly done. One was bringing in, injecting Elie Wiesel, the Nobel Peace Prize laureate, Holocaust survivor, author, and essentially looking up to the galleries and saying to Elie Wiesel, never again. And then at the very end, bringing Moses into the conversation as well, pointing out that the chamber that they were all in the House of Representatives, has an image of Moses invoking his final words before passing away, be strong and resolute, neither fear nor dread them. And then the Prime Minister says, may we neither fear nor dread the challenges ahead. So I thought he, as I said a little earlier, he teed it up well to have the focus be on the message rather than the messenger. And bottom line is, he said, we don't want to do it alone, and God willing, we'll never have to do it alone, but we have the ability, and we're not going to be wiped off the map, despite the fact that Iran has said that it would like to wipe Israel off the map.
I'm speaking with Arthur Horwitz, who's publisher and executive editor of the Detroit Jewish News. There was a piece today, Brookings Institute's Middle East Politics and Policy blog by William Galston, and he pointed out Benjamin Netanyahu, he says, is a man with a mission ensuring that what happened to Jews in the 20th century doesn't happen again in the 21st, that he sees himself as the Jews' Winston Churchill, which certainly reflects what you've just said. And in the same piece, Mr. Galston writes about a Brookings survey that found a majority of Americans figures, well, look, they support U.S. leaders meeting with and talking with the leaders of Iran, even as American support for Israel remains very strong. Do you think Prime Minister Netanyahu changed any American minds today?
My sense is that while he represented that his message was, of course, to America and, of course, to the rest of the world, he was there at the joint session because ultimately his message is to the House and the Senate and their ability potentially to intervene if a bad deal, as he believes it would be, finds its way, into Congress for some kind of vote, ratification, veto, override of veto, whatever those mechanisms might be. But I did pull out one other thing from this, and I guess we'll know the answer to this one in a couple of weeks or so. I think that while right out of the gate he said this is not political, this is bipartisan, praised President Obama, went into his case, when I looked at him, I said he just got the nod to put together the next government in Israel. I thought that while people were saying that, gee, is the prime minister here to help prop up his re-election back in Israel, I think he presented himself as presidential, if I can call it that, even though he's a prime minister. I think it played very well back home with the center-right parties that ultimately are going to have to decide between Netanyahu or some of the other candidates on the right. And in Israel, it's typically the party that has the most votes, if you will, the most delegates, that is asked by the president of the country to try to form a coalition. So I think what he did, and again, we'll know in 2 or 3 weeks, is going to put him in a position to be asked to put together the next coalition for the Knesset in Israel.
Arthur, we do know that some lawmakers, including Congressman John Conyers, did not attend the joint session. Do you worry that today's speech did hurt Israel's important relationship with America, with its president?
Well, I think there are a lot of bruised feelings, bruised egos. I think that when it comes to the president, when it comes to those who are there on the front lines negotiating with Iran, I think that they believe that they are both doing something that is important first and foremost for the United States, important for Israel, and important for prospects for some kind of change in the paradigm, if I can call it that, in the Middle East. I believe that the message from John Conyers was that there were protocol issues rather than policy differences. So again, I think part of it is messenger and message. And my guess is that while President Obama and Prime Minister Netanyahu were not and have not been the closest of friends, and that this will certainly not bring them closer in that regard, I think that there are folks who did not attend the session, and in their eyes, they were unwilling to separate the messenger from the message.
What do you think, finally, that Michigan's Jewish community is hoping will come out of today's speech?
Well, in generalizations, if I can, I think that Michigan's Jewish community, first and foremost, prays for an Israel that's secure and a region that is peaceful. But I think in many ways the Jewish community in Michigan is no different than the rest of the residents of Michigan, or really people anywhere, is how do we do the best we can to create a safer, more secure, more peaceful region in the Middle East, in which Israel is an important part. And despite what some people want, it's not going to go away and disappear, and has a right to be there, as do the other countries in the region, too.
Arthur Horwitz, publisher, executive editor of the Detroit Jewish News. Thank you so much for speaking with us today, Arthur.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me.